Let's pray. Eternal and everlasting Father, we glory in your name, Lord God. We thank you for being in the atmosphere, for being in the place, Lord. So, Lord God, I just pray that you have your way as we grow together, Lord God, as we learn with one another, and as we make this just a safe space. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, so be it. Amen. So I'm going to ask everybody who has an Android, sorry about that, but if you have an iPhone, yay, put it on vibrate. Put it on the side for a minute. If you work for the FBI and you can't cut it off, I get it. If you don't and you feel comfortable, by all means do that. And I want you to hear something. It's a friend of somebody. And when you can't hear me, just let me know and I can speak up or I can give the nod to the team in the back. So, one day when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class was walking home from school. His name was Kyle. He looked like he was carrying all of his books. And I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books on Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned, parties and a football game with my friends tomorrow afternoon. So I shrugged my shoulders and went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running toward him. They ran at him, knocking all of his books out of his arms and tripping him, so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying. And I saw them land in the grass, about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him. So I jogged over to him, and as he crawled around looking for his glasses, and I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, "Those guys are jerks. They really should get lives." He looked at me and said, "Hey, thanks." Then there was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and asked him where he lived. And it turned out he lived near me. So I asked him why I had never seen him before. And he said, he had gone to a private school before now. I would have never hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried some of his books. He turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play a little football with my friends, and he said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. And my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with the huge stack of books again. I stopped him and I said, "Boy, you are gonna really build some serious muscles with this pile of books every day." He just laughed and handed me half of the books. Now, over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. And when we were seniors, he began to think about college. And Kyle decided to go to Georgetown. I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, that the miles would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor, and I was going for a business or a football scholarship. And Kyle was valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation. I was so glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than I, and all the girls loved Kyle. Boy, sometimes I was jealous. Today was one of those days. I could see that he was nervous about his speech. So I smacked him on the back and said, "Hey, big guy, you'll be great." He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful one, and smiled. "Thanks," he said. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. "Graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. I'm here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you could give them. I'm going to tell you a story." I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. He planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and was carrying his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. Thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard the gasp go over the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling, that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life. Powerful. We all have been a cow, know a cow, have experienced a cow, or we are a Kyle. We just growing up now. Here's what I'm going to ask. Consider. Emotional and mental health, living strong on the inside. So here we go. Consider this. I'm going to need you to check your stuff at the door. What does that mean? I need for us to lean in. I need for us to whatever we have going on in our life, in our pockets, in our home, wife, work, whatever we're worried about right now, I'm going to ask you to leave it right there outside of the door. If you've ever been in an experience with me before, you know I kind of stand on this. Leave it outside of the door, whatever your worries are. I know it can be difficult. I'm not going to keep it. I got enough. When you leave, I'm going to give you your worries back. All right? But just for right now, I just need you to lean in with me. Just lean in with me just for a moment. And in doing that, we're going to try to unpack a few things. One, I am Pastor Brian Bailey. I am a licensed mental health clinician. Every year I tell Jeremy, "I'm not coming back, Jeremy. No, I'm not coming back." And I end up coming back every year. This is different for me. If I had a choice, I would not have chosen to be in the sanctuary. I love the room down the hall on the side because it's intimate, it's quiet, it's small. We can gather differently. I like it because I think it creates a great space for us to gather. Here, we're spread apart. And it just feels like I can't connect with you. You're too far from me. And there's a clock with a red digital number in front of me. And it's like, cut it off, right? Because this is an opportunity for us to just go a little bit deeper. And so that's who I am. I'm not doing a resume and all of that stuff. We're not talking about pastor at whatever. None of that. That's who I am. And why I'm here is because I know the impact, the need, the gap when it comes to men and our mental and our emotional health. That's why I'm here. So my question to you would be, why are you here? And this is not even rhetorical. I'm actually asking, would anybody be willing to share with us, why are you here at the conference, but in this breakout session? Come on. Tell me. You can stand up and say it loud.
I take the mic. Thank you. I'm mainly here because, for one, I brought my son with me for the first time. He's old enough. And also, thank you. I'm mainly here just to equip myself with tools to make better decisions from here on out, even though I'm an adult and I'm expected to make the best decisions, but sometimes I don't. So I have to understand the reason behind me making those poor choices, as well as getting to know myself a little bit more deeper and have a better understanding from here on out, as well as, you know, equipping my son with those same tools.
I love that. Yeah. Awesome. Come on, bro. This is going to help.
I always like to say, I want to work on being the change I want to see. So in order to do that for my family and for those around me, I figure, you know, I'm starting to work on the measure of a man, and I'm trying to define what that actually means. And first thing for that to mean is to get, you know, just to be about it and just to realize my flaws. And we fall down, but we get up. So I'm starting to rebuild.
Okay. Anybody else? Why are we? Yes. Why are you here?
My name is Danny, and I'm here because I need more tools, because I attract the broken ever since I was a child. Broken people stick to me like a magnet, and I need tools so that I don't lose one of those precious souls.
Wow. Hey. I just met this pastor a couple of months ago with Fred Cottle. Good to see you, brother. Somebody had their hand up? Yeah, come on, man.
I'm here because, number one, I signed up for my breakout session late, and this is one of the ones that was available. So I figured I'd check it, right? So, and then I said, well, this is meant for me anyway. I'm here because walking this walk of faith through trials and tribulations, we as Christians go through many things. And what's not talked about is the mental and the emotional things that we go through, the things that we experience in life. And most people think that once you come to Jesus, everything is just going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be all right. But life can bring traumatic situations. And until we get healed, until we deal with those issues that we need to deal with to be mentally and emotionally healthy, if we're not mentally and emotionally healthy, how can we present Jesus to someone else when we're broken ourselves?
Okay. Get your things so you can leave. I don't even want you here. Did he answer the question of why he's here, though? Did he? He didn't. Unless we're going to sit on, he couldn't register for any other classes. There was no space. That's why he's really here. And then he made sense of it and said, well, maybe I'm supposed to be here because, and then said all the things that we need. Where we get it the best is when we can answer the question, what we need. There's a need. All right? There's a need. So, I love that. Thank you, because I'm coming back to you. You know that. Yeah, I'm coming back to you. All right, so we're checking stuff at the door. I want us to create that space. I'm sorry. Let me come on. I didn't see you.
All right. The reason why I'm here is to be a better husband to my wife that I've been married to 52 years. A better disciple, making disciples, and a true disciple of the true and living God, because I have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren who are looking at me, and I want them to see the Jesus in me.
Ooh. My Lord! Oh! I'm sorry. Yeah, so just FYI, brothers. Yeah, hold on a second.
Good evening. Good morning, fellas. I'm here today because God has, my life is messed up too. I'm here. I just did some time and God has called me to hear something from somebody. I don't know who it is, but I will take something back from when I leave here because I know God brought me here for a reason and a purpose. This is my first time, and I'm grateful and thankful for what he's doing in me.
Amen. Listen, brothers. One of the arguments that I often have with Jeremy Dixon is this is a sensitive place, and it's hard to do it in 40 or 50 minutes, right? It takes so much more. One, because we are men and we just operate differently. I want you to consider something. Can we play that, please, Megan? And you told me not to say that. I'm sorry.
What do you wish more women knew about how men operate? There are 10,000 times more going on inside the head of a man than you have any idea. He's carrying burdens that you don't have a clue about, and he don't know how to express them, and he don't know what to do about it, and he figures if he puts it out there and communicates it, he's just going to be shot down, all fool, all weak. So he carries it inside, and you have no clue the burdens and the hell that most men are carrying inside and not even showing. What do you...
What do we hear there? Can we agree with some of that? Most of you are carrying something. Most of us are carrying something that we're taking to the grave. We're not sharing it. We're not explaining it. We're not talking to anybody about it. It's our secret that we're going to take to the grave. And we do that because there's a misunderstanding. So there's something else I want you to consider. Look, emotional and mental health, living strong on the inside. On the inside. Most of you are already disciples and believers, and we know of the scripture that reminds us, right, the whitewashed tomb but filthy bones in the inside, right? Is living strong on the inside difficult? We got to look, right? We look good. We look healthy and bright and smart and, you know, we got all the things, but on the inside, we're on the struggle bus. Say it again. We're gracefully broken, right? So why do we present living strong on the outside, but we are struggling and not living strong on the inside? Why do we hide that? Say it again. Because everybody else is. Why else? It's a, slow down. Call Jeremy, tell him we're going to be extended. We're going to be extended. This is important. What did you say? It's expected of us. What did you say? It's what society says. What else? I don't trust you. You're not my safe space. I desire a safe space. And if I don't have it, I'm going to be now strong on the outside. That too? that too? We're taught to be that? The judgment? The rejection. My ego. My pride. Ezekiel, I will be. I will, I will, I will. I'm so protective, I can't let my family know that I'm struggling, so I'll keep it to myself, and I'll carry it, and I'll carry it, and I'll carry it, but I'm struggling. I desire to cry with snot bubbles. That's the cry I want. But I won't show you that, so I'll do the one tear. Now wipe it off. And then I'll say the famous words that we always say when they ask, are we okay? We say, yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. I got it. We don't. We don't. So when we look at those differences, I want us to see it. So let's be clear on what, Megan, you are a monster. You are killing the game for me. I've never done a presentation without my own clicker. I need my clicker. And I was told, you can't have the clicker. And they said, but I'm going to go with you. I said, I'm going to give you a key term so you'll know when to click. And she is just, oh, man, I'm excited about that. Here we are, mental health and emotional health. We're looking for stability. We think that there's something different, but there's not. There's a relationship between mental health and emotional health. We can't have one without the other. And that's where we often get lost. So when we're thinking about living strong on the inside, I want you to be mindful that this focus in this area, this place, when we hear it, it's not just your cliche. It's just not something that we say. But what does it mean? It's not either or. It's not no but. It's yes and. Now, this looks so very, when I was finishing school or something, this looks so DSM-5-ish when we look at mental health, right? It's a state of mental well-being that enables people to cope with the stresses of life, realize their abilities, learn well and work well, and contribute to their community. Emotional health is how we think and feel, and it's our sense of well-being, our ability to cope with life events, and how we acknowledge our own emotions. Shut up! I am struggling. I am afraid. I am weak. I am scared. I'm having trouble in my home. My money is funny. I get more bills, less money. My wife has a problem. She gets on my nerves for me now. I'm going through some stuff. And my children, oh, don't even talk about them. They don't know what hard work is. They have phones and TVs. And I'm going to shut up. I need you to see me. The broken man. I need you to see me. I'm in trouble. And I'm afraid. And I don't have a safe space to share that with. All of this, what this really says is, here's the greatest difference. One is processing experiences. The other is expressing the emotions. Mental health is how well your mind processes and understands information and experiences. It's about thinking. Emotional health involves the ability to manage and express your emotions that rise from those experiences. It's about feelings. We cannot have one without the other. They're in a relationship. Pastor? We run directly. There's a mental health issue. There's an emotional health issue. It's your emotions that respond, not your mental health. I was ticked off and I snapped. We do it all the time. You gonna get it in the car. We just gave it a name and we call it road rage. People give me the half of the peace sign all the time on the highway. And I'm like, y'all ain't finishing. This, you know, it's the whole peace sign. What you, right? And I'm waiting for the other part of the hand to come up, but it never shows, right? One is thinking, one is feeling, right? And our greatest challenge is going to be when we deny that relationship, right? As it's they play a role together, and that doesn't change. That's the greatest difference. Come on. Toughest part is, next time, if I ever be back, I'm going to bring my own earpiece because this is not working for me. I like to pause quite a bit because what we do as men, we need time to process sometimes. Some of the things we've been taught, we stand on it. And we live by it, even though it's unhealthy. That's a great cliche. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and then we wonder why the dog is suffering. That dog needs a new trick. And we make it work because we've been taught something. We've been taught that men do it this way. We've been taught that you are supposed to be responsible. You're supposed to provide and cover. And if you show weakness, then you're not a man. Now, I like to change the word weakness to vulnerability. If we show that we're just, I'm vulnerable. I'm not invincible. And I need the safe space where I can be vulnerable. That's the hard part, because now I'm saying throw away everything you learn about what it means to be this kind of man. His brother here has a son with him. And he can say what he wants to say. And we can receive whatever he says. But he must still play a role even today. Why? Because this guy's here. And when this guy is dead and gone, this guy will remember this day. And this guy will tell a story to his little guy about this day. So it is imperative that this guy shows this guy everything he needs so that this little guy will be able to be the man that he needs to be. In order to do that, we have to be open for vulnerability. How many people have grandchildren in here? All these little granddaddies. Would granddaddies agree that you're doing something different with your grandchild than you did with your child? I bet your children feel like they don't even know who you are. They're like, you're not the granddad that raised me, right? They're looking for that granddad to show up to their children, and that person never shows up. Why? Why are you different with your grandchild? Why are you teaching them something different? Why are you engaging them differently? Why are you building them differently? Why? You more seasoned? What else? You got more wisdom? You got more what? You got more time? Okay. Woo. Pastor Kirk says, not carrying the burden of the responsibility. You can go home with your mother and father.
Because when you grow up with a father who is emotionally, physically abusive, deriding you every step of the way, saying you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything, that's not something you want to pass on to your children or your grandchildren. That doesn't define you. What happens in your life script does not define you. The indwelling spirit tells you, if you don't know the words to pray, the groanings will go up to the Father in ways that you can't even understand, but it's delivered, it's received, it's understood. And so if I could say anything to this group, I would say, don't let what happened in your previous life, and I refer to previous life as how you're brought up. If you're brought up in a very contentious situation, a harmful situation, a powerfully violent situation that made you feel ugly and not appreciated, low self-esteem, low self-worth, that does not define you. The Lord defines you.
Yes. Pete, were you in a session with me before? Were you ever in a session with me before? I feel like I remember you. You weren't? You're a veteran. You're veterans, though. Yeah, well, thank you for your service. But one thing, Pete, don't get up here and try to get to my next slide and get before me. Don't do that no more, Pete. Don't do that no more. No, that's great. That's beautiful. Absolutely. That's absolutely where we are. So we have to get to a place. We have to get to a place. So I want to see us get there, because it's nothing like going somewhere and you get more information of what's wrong, but you don't get any information on what to do. Where are we going, right? So here's what I want us to unpack. When we sit back and look at it, when we see that you have emotional health and then you have mental health, but we are always in conflict, one with the other, we have to ask ourselves, why is there conflict between my emotional health and my mental health? There's no wrong answer, but does anybody have an idea of why there could perhaps be conflict in those two things? Say it again. Because we're living in sin. Okay. Ooh, and a desire. And you don't have, you're living in sin and you don't have a desire to get out of it. Yeah, well, we saw where sin happened. That woman you gave me. No, right. So this conflict, guys, come on, was that a hand? Yeah, this conflict is something that each of you, each of us are battling and processing every single day. And we're going to see why this happens.
Your thoughts and your feelings don't match. I think it's because a lot of times we're kind of like in denial. We know that something is wrong, but we want to act like there's nothing wrong. And we tell ourselves that in our heads.
Yes. Here we go. When thoughts and feelings don't match, you think you're fine, but you feel the heavy sadness and anxiety. And then here is where logic and emotions are disagreeing. You know that you are up, you are hurt, you're scared, you're sad, you're going through a tough time, but you say, you know what, I'm going to be all right. I got it. I've seen this before. Come on.
I think in the history of my family, I've suffered from that a lot, but now I'm trying to focus on breaking generational curses. So in order to do that, the first thing is to acknowledge that there is a problem and then start trying to seek, I guess, ways to overcome it, improvise, overcome, and adapt.
I think often we have the right thing to say, we just don't know what to do. Right? We know what we're trying to say, but we don't really know what to do with this. And so when we look at this, I want you guys to grab just a couple of things to where this happens. When emotions override your thinking. That's the snap place. I'm just been moved by the news that we've heard in the last few weeks. I met Pastor Jackson today. Hey, Pastor Jackson, I am a spot putter on her. All right? And because you're a pastor, you'd have been put on the spot a lot of times. So can you stand up again and share with, would you share with me earlier and the impact that it's having in your community and what you were considering and just asking me about?
Okay. The question that I ask, first, good morning, gentlemen. How's everyone doing? Good. The question that I asked, Pastor, was in recent news we just heard about a former lieutenant governor in Northern Virginia domestic violence escalated to take his wife's life and then his own life. And the pastors in Northern Virginia that have community and relationship really rocked. That community is being rocked because of what he represented to so many. Only at the young age of 47, women are talking about how domestic violence is something that is perpetrated against women independently a lot, and it's no refuge. My question to you was very simply, don't give a preacher a microphone. My question to you simply was mental health at play? To the short answer, you said yes, but it's deeper even than that.
Good job. And I know the risk of giving the pastor a microphone. I knew it when he said first, good morning, everyone. Giving honor to God. I knew right there. He would have 3 points, right? I knew right there. So we can automatically always run to mental health, without going to emotional health. You can't do that. You're building a plane in the sky. We can't do that. Brother Pete back there said, if you are being told that you will never be nothing, you're not worth nothing. He spoke about your experiences, and that's traumatic. And we can be tough and say, that was then, this is now. We will carry that trauma and respond to it on one extreme or the other. We'll either never tell that to our children, or we'll tell the same thing to our children. If your father was abusive, we will either never abuse our women or we will abuse our women. It's an extreme, right? So a husband has murdered his wife. It's been three. We had someone else on the boat. And they, you know, by the grace of God, they found out that that wasn't the case. There was another man who tried to harm his wife on a trail. She got away. All these things are in the news. But is that mental health? Sure, we can sit that in mental health. I can diagnose everybody in here and charge your insurance and diagnose myself. It's not hard. We're all handling or processing something. When we get news that we haven't been prepared for, when we hear of things, a pastor shared with me today something that was so powerful that that he's still processing. And I'm not going to ask him to share that. And if he chooses to share with someone else, by all means. But it's so very powerful that it will sit you down in a humbling place to want to start over, want to process again. So when we look at this conflict, when our emotions override our thinking, we're going to respond. We're going to react. We're going to be a trigger. And then after we do it, we'll go back and we'll process it again and say, I shouldn't have did that. I was wrong. I was out of place. And we may not tell the person. We'll just tell ourselves. Because our pride, Pastor, our pride won't allow us to eat that crow. So we'll carry it with us, right? Well, when your thoughts suppresses your emotions, men, we do this all the time. When our thoughts suppress our emotions, that means you're going to rationalize everything. I just need to stay strong. I just need to get in the car, take a ride. I can't take a ride off of my grief, off of losing my child. That's not a ride. Off of getting a difficult diagnosis. That's not, let me go to the batting cage. It's not that. We're rationalizing what we're really going through. This is where the conflict happens between mental health and emotional health. All right? When past experiences influence current reactions. Our brother said, listen, you are not defined by what you experience. You are not. But what you experience will have an everlasting impact. You don't get to forget that. You can't. I'm trying hard to forget the day I saw my dad die over leaning over a tub. And as a therapist, today, I still carry the guilt that I feel like I killed my father. I carry it today. And for me, I'm sorry, guys. That testimony is not part of my presentation. And I desire a safe space, nonetheless, just to be able to share. Your past experiences, we don't forget those. They impact us. Childhood experiences, advanced adverse childhood experiences, they impact us, right? So when stress overloads both systems, all right, that's where many of us could be. It's high stress, it's grief, it's daily pressures, it strains that rational thinking. It impacts our emotional regulation. This is when we are in an overload. This is when you have jobs and positions that cause for you to be a leader. Then you go home that cause for you to be a leader. Then you feel you're failing yourself. And then you have family who is not in your immediate household that you're trying to take care of. Then you have friends that you're trying to show up in a certain way. I'm not even talking to pastors. You can't even cry. There's expectations of you. And then when you don't meet the expectations, there's judgment of you. So that's that in ministry. But we are not sleeping on what you are doing every day, just as a man in your household, just as that husband, just as that father, just as that grandfather, just as the retired person, just as now that you've gotten older, now to all the younger people in your family, everything you do is questioned. And if it wasn't for the work that you had done, they wouldn't even be where they are. This is a stress overload place, right? When the stressors overload both systems, this is where people feel mentally drained and emotionally numb or overwhelmed. That means just to get up and start your day is exhausting. This is emotional instability. If we are emotionally unstable, we're going to respond based off of our emotions. Then we're going to react. Then we've done something that we can't even imagine that we've ever would have done. And then after it's done, we'll start becoming the gentleman that killed his wife. And then committed suicide. The murder of the wife was the emotional reaction. The suicide was the mental instability when he started to rationalize, oh my goodness, look what I've done. Come on, yeah. Yeah.
I know we're short on time, so I'll make this question quick.
They're gonna have what? We locking the doors.
Okay. So I just want to present an opposite side to this.
Come on.
Okay, because I'm guessing you were going to get there, but I don't see any biblical examples besides Jesus of mentally, emotionally healthy people. I see people struggling with things. Even you in this moment were revealing something that you still struggle, and I would imagine you would be a mentally healthy, emotional healthy.
Why would you imagine that?
Because you're teaching us, so you got to know a little bit more than what we do. I'm not trying to hold you to a higher standard. I'm just saying you got the tools that everybody said.
I'm still judged.
You are. You are judged. Okay. So. I'm judging you in the safe space, brother. They don't know about this outside. Well, I wouldn't want you to be afraid because I can relate to that, you being honest about it. All right.
Because at this moment, it's about who? It's about me right now. Don't trauma bond with me because you wasn't invited.
You didn't invite me by sharing it?
Wait. I'm coming back to you.
Okay.
Matter of fact, come over here. Get out the gym. Can I
finish the question?
Yeah, come on.
Okay. All right. Okay, so my question is, thank you for sharing that with me. That's something I need to consider and keep in mind in the future. To continue that question, I don't see mentally healthy, emotionally healthy people in the Bible. I see people struggling with things and their struggle leading to conflict with God in some way or another. So, in this modern, what I think is modern age, where everybody's out or striving for mental health or emotional health, if you're saying, yes, I'm struggling with this, but I got it, sure, that's a problem. If you're saying, I got an issue with this, but I can fight through it, that's a problem. But if I'm finding out I have an issue and it's pushing me towards God as a man, then I'm in that struggle with him and that he can give me the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge to overcome it. So when I look at how God has made men, I think he has made us differently. We've always been the warriors. We've always been the protectors, that he actually made us different to be able to handle some of the things that we deal with. But those things should push us into a deeper relationship with him, not into a deeper reliance on ourselves. And that if we're trying to rely on ourselves, that's when we got the problem. That was my question.
You didn't ask me no question, but you banged the nail.
I don't think that's the message that is. I think maybe I'm misinterpreting the message. I'm thinking the message is we got to go to therapy. We got to go to all this stuff.
I never said that. Let me finish.
I said I thought you might be going there, but yeah, I thought we'd run out of time. Finish. Okay, I apologize. I'm wrong, brother. I apologize. All right. I'm sorry, sir.
Give me a hug. How's my body? No, you good.
All right.
Man, this is a problem already. Look, we're done. Our time is up. Okay, wait. Next slide. The kidney is your fault. Next slide. Okay, so this was a place where we were going to say, if I'm honest with myself, I would admit. But I think you already done that. Next slide. Dang. I don't know. All right. No man is exempt. Kenny, come back up here with me, Kenny. No man is exempt. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. If you try to get out of you're going to my slides early, right? And you're absolutely on point. Because when you mention that we don't see this, this is not uncommon, right? And the men ran where? When they ran into problems in the scripture, they ran straight to who? God. They ran straight to God. The next slide. I know we weren't supposed to do that. There's just a few men that I'm highlighting of what you just said, that this is not uncommon for us. We absolutely have that all through scripture, whether it's Job, whether it's Elisha, whether it's Joseph, that everybody had that emotional. I think Pastor Ronnie spoke about it earlier with Elijah. He wanted suicide, right? Take me now, Lord, right? I know, Jeremy. Take me now. So you're absolutely right. And in all those things, they were having conversations with the Lord. We don't lose that. Do I tell you, you don't need to go? I am a faithful Christian therapist. You have biblical therapists, then you have Christian therapists. You can't come to me and tell me you're hearing 34 voices that are telling you to do certain things, and I tell you just keep praying about that. That's almost like saying we have, there's a, can you go say that again? Because you've been in the gym, and I don't like that. I don't like that, right? Wait, try to fix myself up a little bit, right? Okay, I know, I get it. So here's what we are taking away. Here's what we need to think about. We need safety. I need a safe space. I wasn't coming hard on Kenny, but I need to know that if I show you my wound, you won't pull the Band-Aid off of it later. I need that space, all right? Trust. Can I trust you with handling my pain? I need a safe space. Empowerment. I need to know that I can be in the place where I can grow, get better, take some authority over what I'm going through, get some authority in my life. I need that empowerment. But then when I look at the empowerment, I need some support. Where are the men that I can rely on and trust? I need peer support of good men. Guess what? I can't do it without what Kenny gave me. Scripture right there. I need an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I know, Jeremy, I get it. Okay, next slide, I'm out. All right, so with that, and everybody's at the door, y'all gonna get this too, because this is where I'm gonna stop. I'm available afterwards. And I asked Jeremy a while ago, don't give me 50 minutes. I need 90 because there's too much to unpack, and give me small groups. So I'm closing out. I'm 4 minutes behind. But Ronnie did take 2 minutes from me when he started. All right. So just grab this and I'm closing. I'm done. Hear this. This is a Christian story. I want you to hear it and take it with you and keep it for a second. Christian story. Christian looked like a man who had it all together. He wore pressed shirts, carried a respectable title as an accountant, and provided for his wife and 2 children. From the outside, his life appeared stable, successful even. But inside, Christian was fighting battles no one could see. Long before the career, the marriage, the responsibilities, there was a boy. A boy who was teased, overlooked, and left wondering why he wasn't enough. His father's absence left more than an empty seat. It left unanswered questions, quiet hurt, and a voice that grew louder over time, "You're not good enough." That voice followed him into adulthood. It whispered in moments of silence. It shouted in moments of failure. It compared him to others and always found him lacking. Though he worked hard and achieved success, it never felt like enough. At home, his distance grew. Work became an escape. His marriage felt strained and the intimacy faded into routine and silence. Some days, the weight of it all made him wonder if life itself was worth continuing. Christian was tired of pretending, tired of striving, tired of carrying pain he didn't fully understand. Then one day, he did something different. He showed up. He joined a men's group at church. And for the first time, he heard stories that sounded like his own. Different faces, different details, but the same stories, same struggles, the same doubts, the same quiet question, am I enough? And in that moment, something shifted. Christian realized he wasn't alone. Because the truth is, Christian just one man, but Christian isn't just one man. He is every man who has questioned his worth, every man who has carried silent pain, every man who has smiled on the outside while struggling within. We are all Christian. And here is where the story turns. See, being Christian isn't just his name, it's his calling. And for the very first time in his life, Christian realized he didn't have to carry it alone, because healing didn't start when he had all the answers. It started when he found a place to be real, a safe space. And this is your story, this is my story, it's our story. The story of a man learning his identity. Learning his identity is not just found in what he's been through, but who he belongs to. And walking through that in a safe place, a safe space for Christian men to be real, to speak honestly, and to be heard without judgment. A safe place where stories are shared, burdens are lifted, and no man stands alone. Building connection, accountability, and healing. Our conversation at a time through Christ, a place called a man cave. On the board, there's a QR code. On the board, there's a QR code. The QR code is... it's because I've been asked so many times and so very often about, well, what are we doing? Where do we go next? What are the next steps? That God has put it on me to start a man cave. And we'll start in June. And what I'm going to do is connect with a group of men. And then I will give you the ingredient to not just come to my man cave, but to build your own man cave in your church, in your community, in your neighborhoods, so that you take it and go. I know Kenny will be the first one to join the man cave. I can't wait. I love that, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Brian. Amen. We appreciate you, man. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you, brother. Give it up for Pastor Brian. I know his sessions are always good. He showed you how to connect with him.